Welcome to Equip, the podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen. Today I'm joined by Chris Miller, Russ DeMott, and Chase Buchanan. Welcome to the podcast, buddy.
Let's go.
Yeah. We had a big day yesterday in the life of Connection Church. It was One More Time Sunday, and I can't think of three people with better stories and had better points of view about all that God has been doing in the life of our church for the last 21 days of prayer and fasting that we've been on. And so I wanted to bring you guys in to just talk about that a little bit today, just more of what did you see, what did you experience, what did the Lord show you, and really just kind of like it's more like a news desk of like, what are all the stories that we've gotten to hear over the last 21 days or so.
Yeah.
Mm. We call it Christ Max.
That's funny.
But let's start with some stories and end a little bit how that kind of culminated in yesterday of what we got to see and experience. What are some of the stories that you guys have heard, or what stands out to you from the last 21 days of what's been going on in the life of our church with people from the journey with prayer and fasting?
Yeah. One story that I just kind of pieced together yesterday afternoon was on Wednesday. I had an opportunity to preach at College Nights and preach through James 1. But there is a Connect group that attends, or they have their Connect group here at the church on Wednesdays, and they offer childcare. And so they had a high school age girl that was babysitting the kids for the Connect group. She attends another church on Sundays, but she heard the music and realized that, like, after their Connect group was done, that there was a church service going on specifically for college kids. And so she stuck around and she listened to it, and she was really moved. And so she said, well, I'm going to come back on Sunday, not knowing anything about One More Time Sunday. But she invited her boyfriend to come with her as well. He is in a family where his mom is agnostic, his dad is an atheist, doesn't go to church, never been to church. She invites him to church. Her boyfriend is also the best friend of the younger brother of one of our Connection College prayer team members. So I'll just say, catch you up on this. We have a college kid who is on our college prayer team. His younger brother's best friend is the girl I'm talking about, boyfriend.
Right.
So all this comes together on Sunday. He comes to church with that family, who is a family that has been a part of our church for a long time. And, you know, Chase, you get to talk about this in a minute, but from your point of view of the altar call at the 11 o'clock mm-hmm. service, in the middle of worship, this dude just runs to the altar and gives his life to the Lord, and is like, what an incredible story of never been in church, but like God moved in that moment in his life in just an incredible way. And you know, that was a really cool story to hear from a couple mm-hmm. different people's perspective that also were involved in that story.
I think it's a good example too, in talking about mm-hmm. prayer and fasting, where it's not, that guy, to our knowledge, was not somebody's one necessarily mm-hmm. of like their one more, but just the overall picture of what God seems to do in strange ways during times of fasting, mm-hmm. of just the Spirit breaking out and breaking through into people's lives in such a strange way. In a weird way, Charles Spurgeon had a very similar story. Charles Spurgeon's he at one point in time was the biggest, most well-known pastor in the world for a period of time in like the 1800s in England. And his salvation story was having grown up in a highly religious context. Grandfather was a pastor, and he just was walking down a snowy street one day and stumbled into a church, wasn't even intending to go, and the pastor was not even there. So a deacon had to stand up because the pastor had gotten snowed in and just preached a simple gospel message, and Spurgeon's heart was softened in a strange sort of random way. And there's just something to, like, week over week, we can't always explain with strategy and tactics of exactly how does the Spirit move forward in people's hearts and lives. But like the Motel 6, we always got the lights on for you.
Yeah,
amen.
We're here preaching and singing.
We're a little better than a Motel 6. No offense.
We're trying to at least be the what's the Double Tree with the cookies?
Yeah.
Continental breakfast.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, dude. Yesterday was wild. It was
I don't know. I could feel it when I first got here, and even just as we began to – I mean, it felt like a normal Sunday at first. You know, like we got here early, and we're setting up and getting ready for rehearsal. And but even, like, whenever we began to have conversations – and even praying before the day started, like, I don't know, you could feel the Spirit moving. And it wasn't, like, we didn't do anything, you know, like you said, there wasn't any, like, special song sequence or anything like that. No,
you didn't swoop in on the cable.
I did not. Not this Sunday.
Not this one.
And I don't know, man. And the 9 a.m. was really, really... and both services were different, but like, very I don't different. Know, dude, you can't put your finger on anything that we did, but yeah. Or just the Lord was moving.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. And in the 11 too, I was speechless when God began to move and, began to see so many, and I can't really see too much whenever I'm up there, but I began to see a lot of new faces and I don't know. I just seeing all of the people come forward to pray and to receive Christ, and it was a whirlwind, you know. And it was I haven't really digested it completely even today. It was just incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very memorable Sunday, just in sort of unexplainable way. I want to come back to that and explore that and think about that a little bit more. Chris, what all have you seen over the last 21 days?
Oh, my goodness. I could take up the whole podcast with what I've seen. So first, we had a guy that is going through some stuff in life, and he actually looked on an app on his phone for a church in the area because he was looking. He knew he needed to get under God's covering somewhere, and he went to go to the church down the street. They happened to be locked up, and he said, well, I passed this other church, and it seemed like there were some people there. And so our very first day of prayer and fasting, he turned around, and he came right back here and pulled in the parking lot. And somebody that wasn't even supposed to be here at the time let him in. And he came in and for the time of prayer, and he sats down. And Russ comes up to him, and he's like, hey, let's go pray with this guy. And so we went and prayed with him, and we heard his story. And me and the guy hit it off really well. And so I was able to spend every day with him at lunch that first week, and I invited him to the Connect group on Friday night, and he came. And all the men in the group, they prayed for him. And all week, the second week, he came every day at lunch, and I prayed with him and sat with him every day at lunch for an hour. And
he came to the gathering that week, too.
Came to the gathering that week, came to Connect group that Friday night, and then he came all week. Again, every day, and I sat with him for an hour. We went through the Bible. We read Scripture. We prayed together. And on Sunday, he got saved.
Amen.
And it was God's plan the whole time.
Amen.
And he was looking for God to do something totally different in his life. But I think he got a double dose because God did that in his life, which God wanted to do. And then God's also working on the other part that he came for to begin
That's
with.
Right. Yeah.
And, man, I got a new brother in Christ that I never knew I had.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to spend time with him, and there's a bond there and a brotherhood now, and it's amazing. You know, there's no way except for God to be able to orchestrate anything like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I talked to him yesterday after the fact, and something he said to me that I thought was just so powerful was, I didn't know why in the world I was here that first day I came to this church, but now I do. Now I know this whole time why God had placed me here, and just the fact that his, you know, he told us, I don't think you just said this and explained it, but he made a comment that he had planned to come for 3 weeks. And it just so happened that his 3 weeks that he planned to be in Statesboro was the 3 weeks of our prayer and fast.
Yep.
Just so happened.
Yeah, just so happened.
Coincidentally.
And I just, like, I can't get enough of telling that story to people.
I mean,
it's just incredible. To see God move in ways like that. And again, Jordan, you said this a minute ago, that wasn't any of our one more. Like, that's not even anybody that we even knew when we started and planned to do this 21 days of fasting and prayer. This is a new guy that just walked in the door. And wow, what an incredible testimony.
Yeah, it's interesting how the Lord just kind of works in the margins, how he...
Absolutely.
When Shane Duffy came and did that training in Vidalia for us. He said the miracles happen in the margins. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that of like, even like there, that is part of the principle of gleaning in Old Testament Israel is like they left, they didn't like deliberately consume all of the stuff, all of the edges. They left margin. That's what the Sabbath is. Mm-hmm. And so this 21 days of prayer and fasting is, in a lot of ways, is creating a ton of extra margin. And so that's why you, I think, in part theologically see some of this stuff is these things that are breaking through in the margin, which is just so beautiful.
It is.
So beautiful. Anything else? Any other stories from the 21 days?
I got one more.
Come on.
That's somebody in my family that I've been praying for really hard for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Who 6 years ago was an atheist, complete atheist, 100%. And some things have happened in his life that cause you to reevaluate your surroundings. And God has made it very evident to him that God's real and alive. Mm-hmm. And they drove 3.5 hours and came up here to go to church. And I can count on both of my hands the number of times that he's been in church his whole life. And I'm talking weddings and things where you have to go. And he came yesterday. He did not stand up and receive salvation. Mm-hmm. But I saw some tears flowing down a cheek. Mm-hmm. And I took him to lunch afterwards. And Kelly and I sat and talked to him. And we had some very, very, very good, deep conversation. And I'm going to go ahead and prophesy right now that within the next 30 days, he'll be saved, him and his wife.
Wow.
It'll be another brother and sister in Christ, and it's somebody that's in my family that I've been praying hard for.
That's awesome.
And so God is just phenomenal. Yeah. I'm like right now, you can't slap a smile off my face. I'm just telling you.
Well, Chase may try by the end of the episode.
Yeah,
we'll
see. Be all right.
I would never do that.
I think that maybe for some of our folks too, I would share another side of the perspective of the 21 days is how do we make sense of the 21 days when it didn't work or like you know the thing you prayed for did not break through. You had something.
I was just gonna say, thinking about that, I feel like even on Sunday, I was when I got here, I sat down with Chris and Q, and I was kind of feeling this weird like desperation, kind of this weird burden of like, God, are you really gonna move? I don't know. I had been so excited leading up to it, and it just felt like somehow the enemy was trying to attack like my belief that God was gonna move, and I just had to pray through that. And I felt like something that the Lord gave me in that was that this isn't the end. Like the 21 days was not the end, but it was the beginning. And so I think from a place of encouragement to encourage our people of or whoever's listening, if you participated and things didn't happen in such a big way, is like this is just the beginning of something big happening for the people you're praying for, not the end. This wasn't like, well, if it don't happen today, it's never going to happen. No, this is just beginning of God moving, and he's moving even when we don't see it sometimes, even when we feel it or you know, have the ability to understand. He's still moving. He's still faithful.
Yeah, and to that point with Chris, like he's been praying for that family member for 6 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is it can be a long road in that regard. But sometimes if it's not something that we can visually see externally, there could be work that's happening internally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's right.
In us.
That's right.
And
oh yeah.
I would point to even the way that I phrased that sentence of, what do you mean it's not working? Or what do you mean like God didn't – is God limited in his answers to prayer through our opinion of how they should look?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
And absolutely not. Yeah, like I think if we could see what God sees and if we could know what God knows, we would answer prayer the way God answers prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy, but there is a measure of the answers that God – the answers that we give our children in raising them is different at 3 than it is at 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if there's a difference in the way that the father is answering the questions and the petitions through prayer, it can be connected to a season of development and growth and maturity that he's having to bring us through. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, one of the ones is that, hey, I was serious about praying about this for these 21 days of prayer and fasting, but I had grown probably a little flippant in praying for my one more over the course of the last 10 years or so, you know, of just kind of like, well, he'll answer it when he wants to answer it. But instead of like asking, seeking, knocking, asking, seeking, knocking, like in that parable, it's not like, we'll just stand on the porch until they come to the door. It's like, no, knock, ask, seek, knock.
Yeah.
And so that's a maturity thing for me of like, I have to stay disciplined. Not that it's a one-for-one thing of like, if I did that, God would fill in the blank, but I think it's more of a personal, and I would encourage folks, like, seek the Lord of what, okay, Father, what are you trying to show me? Are you trying to show me that I still am slightly addicted to a works righteousness? Mm-hmm. I thought that if I did this, you would then do this, and since you didn't do this, then you must not be fill in the blank.
Don't we always want to make it a transaction? Like, God, I'm gonna do this, and because of this, I expect you to do this, but what God really showed me in this was that a lot of it is not, God, I'm going to do this because I want you to move in this area. And God's like, okay, I know you want me to move in that area, but I'm going to work on your heart during this. I'm going to work on your humbleness during this. I'm going to work on aligning your heart with my heart and your eyes with my eyes and your ears with my ears. So that way, when I do put you in the proper situation and you're able to talk to people, then you're going to be able to hear what I tell you to say.
Yeah.
And it's about aligning us with God.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is good. I think for me personally, like, prayer and fasting has been a discipline that I've needed to grow in.
Mm.
And through this time, man, I have felt so much more in step with what God has instructed me to do as a believer. And I look at that as an answered prayer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's right.
Being closer to Him. And man, there's something about crying out to the Lord for the people that He puts on your heart that draws you deeper in relationship with Him. And I think, too, like, you know, there's things that I prayed for that I haven't seen yet, but God is, He's wise, you know, and His way is better.
You know,
the answer's not no, it's no, I've got something better, you know? And I think having faith for that is important, too. So
I think that's good. I love that. Any other stories? Anything else come to mind?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like Chris. I could go on and on, man. And this has been something that predates the fast. I may have even talked about this in some of our other podcasts, but something the Lord specifically did in my heart back in, like, September was He illuminated a burden in me that needed to be there for the family of Casey and I that we currently live around, and just how many people we have in, like, walking distance proximity that are our family that are apart from God and are bound up by a lot of, like, generational curse, just family hurt, pain, drug addiction, alcohol. I mean, you name it, divorce, and it's just run rampant. And it's just hurting people that God has given us a ministry of. And so we started, like, intentionally praying for them. Now, those prayers for sure heated up during this 21 days. And Case and I started a prayer journal, and I started writing all these names down that the God had been placing on my heart. And one of them in particular, who has struggled with drug addiction as long as Case and I have been together. I mean, that's what we've made jokes about it. It is that bad. And about, you know, they live next to us, and so we see the traffic that comes up and down our dirt road. And man, we've just been praying. And in this 21 days, he has submitted himself to a recovery program and has been allowed to come to church, and came to church and got saved yesterday.
Amen.
And
holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, you saw me just, like, I can't hold it together. I'm just weeping in the hallway of the staff hallway. But, like, just looking back on the 21 days and seeing God just answer prayers of helping him get to a place where he can begin to get clean, getting his heart to a place where he's ready to turn it over to the Lord, and then getting to talk to him yesterday. And he said this, I mean, this is word for quote out of his mouth. He said, "I've given it all to him, man." Mm-hmm. And I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
And like,
I heard him when he said that.
He's free. He's experienced freedom. And, you know, I think that is like the heart that God has for sure given me, is like, I just want people to experience freedom. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of the 21 days has been about for us, for praying for people that they would experience freedom like that.
I love that.
That's good.
That's so well said. There's so much more to that story, too. Just, you know, he was several people's one, and then there's just a whole, you know, ecosystem of brokenness around all of that. And so just to see that, it's just there's a lot of snot and tears yesterday. That was
just a lot of mucus in the prayer room.
And so it was just beautiful. And just to see people like coming up and surrendering. And I think sort of in you know, theologically we have a lot of mixed bag of background and experience and language and different things, but like those are the kind of things that when you talk about deliverance, like people being delivered from stuff, I like that language so much more than the idea of I gave my life to Christ.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I think that's a lot closer to what the Holy Spirit does in the drawing of people. Yeah. Like, it's a spiritual war that's happening where Holy Spirit has to go in and evict the strong man and deliver them from strongholds and bondage, and then make that a dwelling place. And you have to be it's like you think about like a war front. I'm the one that comes to mind currently is Ukraine. Like there's a pushing back of the battle line to where like everything in its path, though, what was once, you know, territory of one nation is now territory of another nation. And the only thing that prevents that is those people being delivered from the oncoming army. And I think we need to think about it and pray about it in those terms a lot more than we do. And I'm talking about myself, of like less of like, because sometimes it can feel that way a little bit with college where I'm like, I just wish you all would give your life to Jesus, as if he is one among many options.
Yeah.
When it's really more in terms of like, I want you to be delivered from this deception that you're living under, and the stronghold of the enemy that's seeking to destroy your life. And if either you are hyper aware of the destruction and you see how desperately you need to be saved and delivered from it, and what's more scary is, or you don't. And in that regard, we need to herald the truth of a rescue plan that God has put in place in Christ. What were we going to say?
That's good. No, I was thinking about what service was that yesterday?
It was the 11.
Yeah.
It was during the moment of worship, of just the mass people coming down.
Let's get into that a little bit. I want to hear from your perspective, Chase, what you were seeing and experiencing. Because I think at 9, it felt a little bit more like extracting teeth, like just pulling people from like a... Which, I mean, that's, again, going back to sort of this deliverance idea of, like, people being pulled from the fiery flame at the 9, where at 11, it felt a lot more like people were fleeing darkness. And so I'd love to hear.
11 felt more like a floodgate.
Yeah.
Like the waters were just pouring out. Like, they couldn't be held back anymore. That's crazy that you say that about your friend. Because at the 11, I remember we were in the third song, and the song was "I Need You, Jesus." And at the end, we had kind of like planned to just leave some space for the Lord to move. And it was different for the 9. But in this service, in the 11, like I just felt led to just sing. Obviously the chorus, that line, "I Need You, Jesus." And I don't know, I just felt led to sing "Come Break Every Chain, Come Take Addiction Away."
Yeah. Wow.
And come take depression away.
Wow.
It's weird that you say that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say about that. That's just the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Good. That's crazy, man. But no, in that moment, just I was completely overwhelmed by the presence of God and did not know what to say. I remember people were coming forward, and I made eye contact with Brandon. He was in the front row. Usually, I know it's about to be real when Brandon's in the front row, like right dead front by the stairs.
Yeah,
and I made eye contact with him, and I just knew the Lord was about to take off, and the Spirit was about to break out, and I was speechless. I did not know what to say. We had just had a very powerful moment, and I was just very overwhelmed by the presence of God, by the love of Jesus, and then Brandon comes up, and man, he just we keep singing. He tells us to keep singing, and man, he just lays out the gospel in just the most simple way. I remember he said that Jesus didn't die for just the little things; he died for the big things. And I feel like when he said that, like another layer just got peeled off, like another another stronghold got torn down, and man, just God was moving in such a powerful way. And I can't attribute it to what we did, just the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. It was so good.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
I want to speak on that for a second because I saw something from my spot that I don't know if a lot of people will realize or not, but Chase, whenever the Holy Spirit started moving right then, and you got emotional, and you made a comment, you said, "We need to have an altar call right now." Mm-hmm. And Brandon came up there, and he honored that, exactly what you were feeling. And I love the teamwork of the whole staff coming together like that. And even though that's not what was planned, Brandon realized that you felt the power of the Spirit and what needed to happen at that moment. He honored that, and look what God did, you know, and just to see everybody working together like that, I think a lot of times our people may not realize that how important and how loved each different staff person is here, and how everybody's got an opportunity to speak, even in the moment like that, of like, hey, this isn't what was planned, but this is what I'm really feeling right now. And then when God, and that's honored, and God moves in such a big way.
I think, go ahead.
No,
you're good. I was going to say, I think if you'd asked Brandon, he knew that was coming. I think he felt that same like desire for us needing, but I sat back in the sound booth in both the services, and right before you did that in the 11, I felt like something was coming, and so I got out of the sound booth and went up and sat on the front row, and I made one of our college kids basically just, I said, "Get over, I gotta stand. I need to stand right here. Something's about to happen. I don't know exactly what it is, but I need to be right here." And then all of that happened, and I just think, you know, people can label that whatever they want to label it, but it's unity of the Spirit, that when the Spirit moves, he's unifying his people for the edification of his people. And that was just a beautiful picture of that happening yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you would ask Bess as well, talking about, you know, unity of the Spirit in that moment, she came into the leadership training we were doing right after, and she said that she could just feel something building, felt the Holy Spirit, and said that not planned, y'all went straight into nothing but the blood. Mm-hmm. And that, like, that song, like, she just started playing it and started playing in that direction. Unplanned. Maybe y'all communicated about that. I don't know.
We felt it in rehearsal. And I was like, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if we have time.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have room. But I said, maybe, if the Lord wants to do that.
Yeah.
And he did.
I had like snuck into the 11 after me and John were talking about his message at Statesboro Worship. And I'm like, all right, well, let's slide in here. And Macy and Natalie happened to be sitting together, so there was no more room. There's no more room in the end. And so we just kind of stood over there by the wall. But we walked in right about the time that we were finishing that last song and moving into Nothing But the Blood. And you could just tell the whole moment was beginning to build. The Spirit was really moving. And you had really paused, and you had taken time to really evaluate, what does God want right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what does this moment need right now? And then you facilitated it in that way, which was so beautiful, of like, I feel like what we need right now is a call for salvation. Mm-hmm. And Brandon came up and shared, and then it was just people from all over the room, left to right, coming down front, and, you know, which was crazy because it felt like at the 9, it was very clearly articulated. It was a very standard service. The, you know, three songs and a host moment and or a host moment, three songs and a message and an invitation. And then at the 11, it was like the host moment, three and a half songs, and then like it's time to give an altar call, time to invite people to repent of their sin and place faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And then people are just being delivered from stuff. Mm-hmm. And so much so that like we got a lot of the offices full, all of the conference room was full of people praying. And then we like processed them, sort of got their information and gave them some next steps and sent them back either to the service or to the back. And then we reset because there's a whole sermon to go.
Yeah.
And
wow.
That, it's those moments where like our brain, we're like, we're trying to make sure everything's going to be okay. I'm like, crap, he's got a sermon now. I don't know if I need to go back out. I texted Tyler. I was like, should I go back out at the end and play? And he was like, yeah, just come out and play. So, yeah.
And did he wind up giving, did he?
At the end?
Of
the
and message. Then another like yeah. two or three yeah. people yeah. came forward yeah. then.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. Which was funny because I was thinking after sitting in the nine, if you, you know, not to be too insider in this, but like, during the salvation call, I was like, man, that's a lot of the content of his sermon.
yeah, exactly.
That's what you're talking about now.
he moved right on and hammered it out.
Wow. Yeah.
But I didn't get to go back and listen to it, but what did he preach? A lot of the same stuff?
Yeah. But I mean, it was just still
he brought out a
solid.
Different,
it was awesome.
He brought out a different verse, though. He brought out another section of scripture. I think it was in Luke, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe I think so. It was. Something else that I just came to memory that I think that is really neat now, even thinking about this, is, and this is where it's like, at no point in time have we ever tried to be perfect from a staff standpoint of like what the service is going to look like. But mm-hmm. we do try to be strategic. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by being strategic is that we make space for God to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And we had talked about doing baptisms this Sunday. Like that was a legit thing that could have happened. We talked about doing baptisms and like now looking back at us, nobody feeling like that was the right thing to do this Sunday, that God wanted something different and that mm-hmm. we put hosting at the beginning because God wanted to do something different mm-hmm. and then look at how it played out. And I just think that's really, really neat.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That to me that showcases how the Spirit leads you in preparation for a service. It's not about, you know, let's just show up and see what the Spirit does. It's all week. You know, we're not trying to plan out what God's going to do, but we're trying to be diligent to be sensitive to his leading throughout the week as well.
Yeah.
As we prepare. Yeah. And the song, like even the songs we choose. I remember, you know, I didn't really speak that much with Brandon about the specifics of his sermon for Sunday, but I just knew in my heart, like what is the easiest, one of the easiest explanations of the gospel, and just the blood.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
Like how do you explain what Jesus did for us? And that song, the blood, is just so perfect. Mm-hmm. And then I need you, Jesus, not trying to brag on myself, but you know, that's,
I mean, it was a pretty flawless execution of Planning Center.
No, I don't know. And then, but all those songs were perfect for the day.
It was so great.
Yeah. So.
Amen.
It was good.
Amen.
I'm expectant for like the rest of the year too, because if God's moving like this in January, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I just feel, I think, and I'm not the only one that feels it, because I've talked to several other people that feel like we're right on the cusp of God moving in real, real big ways. You know, I feel like the kid chasing the balloon, and you get your fingers on it and it pops out, and then you chase it a few more steps and it pops out. But eventually we're going to get our hands on that thing.
I think it's a little, you know, residual, what I mean? LSD over there. I think that's
eventually we're going to get our hands on that balloon, though.
Never caught the balloon.
I really expect God. I think something about this year, I felt at the end of last year, really just starting to build. I feel, you can see it, feel the excitement in the air. Like you just feel the spirit moving, and I feel pressure being built up in me. And I know that Russ, we talked about it. He feels the same thing. You know, I think about Jeremiah when he says, you know, I've got to preach because the fire's in my bones. Yeah. You know, and I feel that building in the church. I feel that building in Statesboro, Georgia.
I feel like we're in a time kind of around that where our the core of, and I've talked about this a lot with college, but and it's trickled over really into the life of our body, where the core of what it means to be like really committed to the gospel alongside the people of Connection Church, that core has just gotten bigger. And a few of the characteristics that I see are people are really grateful for, yes, for Christ through the strategy of Connection Church, mm-hmm, that they, what we ask them to do, they're like, yeah, that sounds great. That's a, we were thinking the same thing. Or like, oh, that's a, like, they're just very, there's a lot of gratitude for the leading that we do, for the serving that we do, mm-hmm, and people just feel very moldable, like they want to be shaped and formed into the image of Christ. And so the core of that seems to continue to grow and get bigger. People, there's just a deepening. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, if you, it's a podcast I listen to a lot, but it talks about, first, if you want to go high, you have to go deep. You can't build a real tall structure on a really shallow foundation. You have to go deep. And I feel like we are both getting deeper with our people, and more people with bigger core of that are all going deeper. And then there's, that's allowing us potentially, in using the balloon analogy, to reach higher.
Yes.
And I'll be interested to see how that goes. And there's not a lot that can go wrong in building a deeper, more substantive foundation.
Yeah.
And
So. You said this in your host moment, and I thought it was really, really good, is that we're going to believe that God's going to move one more time again next Sunday, mm-hmm, and then the Sunday after that. And I think just encouraging our people is like, this is, mm-hmm, again, this is the beginning. This is that, mm-hmm, God's going to continue. We're believing in faith that God is going to continue, mm-hmm, to move one more time.
I think another thing that was interesting about yesterday was when I think about that moment, I can remember a time in the life of our church where it had been like, if the Spirit breaks out and does something crazy, who are we going to ask to pray with all these people? And now it was just like, I feel like I could have looked around, mm-hmm, and been like, hey, you,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
just to come.
I saw people that weren't on staff.
Most
coming
of them.
Up, you know what I mean? Like, that was,
in fact,
I had that thought too in the moment. I was like, this is awesome.
I stood there and intentionally didn't snag somebody because that would have taken the moment from James and Morgan Connor. Yeah.
Yep.
Imagine robbing them of that moment.
Yeah.
You know, or Tiffany Heiss grabbed a lady, mm-hmm, and just different people just all across the room. Just, I'm going to get.
You got me, boy. I'm
old Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. It's my boy.
Yeah.
That, but just imagine all these different people from around the room that, like, that was their opportunity to go. And I mean, Macy prayed with the dude that was the backup dancer for Pitbull. I mean, not really. He had tan overalls with a wife beater on, and he just Timberlands, and I want to be his best friend. He seems awesome.
I do too.
But just like non-staff folks have just, the bench has just gotten, our core has just gotten so deep, mm-hmm, and so much more able. You know, mm-hmm, Morgan Moss turned around and said, all these people respond, do they need help? Do you need me to come help?
I was just about to say something about him. Is he, the Lord has radically changed his life through this 21 days. I've been in contact with him throughout the whole period. He did a nothing. And anyways, nobody needs to know the details of his fast, but he reached out to me at the beginning of the fast and was like, just be praying. And I mean, the Lord has answered his prayers, and he is like on fire, and he was up front wanting to pray with the people. He hugged this one dude, and I actually had a chance to talk with him today, and I was like, who did you know? I was wanting to know, like, was that your one more? Like, who was that guy you were hugging? He said, I have no idea. I was just so excited for him that I just gave him a big old hug, and I was like, this dude's fired up, boy. But it was just, yeah, like, there are more people that are just, they're getting bought in, and they're becoming the core of who we are at Connection Church, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And there's a lot more that we could say, but I think it's a good spot to stop right there. That was awesome. Chase, thank you for listening to the Lord yesterday.
Yeah, amen to that.
Being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wanted.
Thank you for crying on stage so dude, somebody stop. Else cries with me.
Man, now I'm so excited. The other guy
I was so excited. I said, yes, he's crying.
Yeah, I couldn't help it, man.
Yeah, you can't. When the Lord starts moving,
and Will
boy.
Ferrell, the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
The crying guys.
Mm-hmm. The crying. You think what I'm thinking?
Yeah. Aim for the bushes.
Aim for the bushes.
Yep.
All right. Mm. Boys, thank you all for taking time to do this. I thought one more time was it's been a wonderful 21 days, and I'm still expecting for, like you said, Chris, of all that God still wants to do.
Yeah.
I think there's still more. And so thank you guys for listening to this episode. If you would click like, subscribe, help us share this podcast with other people. Our goal in this is just to serve the body of Christ and help things multiply. And so we want to help equip the body to do all that God has for it. And so if you know of somebody that would benefit from conversations like this, please share it with them. Help us get the word out. We want to continue to grow this podcast, and we will see you on the next episode.